All right, welcome to those in the room, those watching online this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. Now, I don't know how you grew up or how you spend most of your Memorial Days, but growing up was always the time when, as a family, my parents would take us to grave sites and talk about relatives and family. And so when there's an opportunity on Memorial Day, and normally this is our graduation Sunday, we're honoring our graduates, but we had our youth Sunday last week, then I like to talk about the subject that we don't like to talk about. So that's what I want to do today. And I want us to just feel comfortable to walk into an uncomfortable space because we are uncomfortable talking about death. Just think about this. When's the last time you were in the car as a family, right? And maybe one of you said, you know, and maybe the driver of the car said, you know, we should talk about death. I think, honey, you should pull over, okay? Let's change drivers because that just made me really uncomfortable. When's the last time you sat at the dinner table or a restaurant and said, you know, we should talk about death? No, we don't do that, do we? No, let's not talk about death. Let's not have any moments to talk about it. That's too weird. That's too uncomfortable, and we don't like to walk into that space. And we can all be honest, we don't like to do that. It's like the old joke where it said, you know, I want to go peacefully in my sleep like Grandpa did and not like all the other screaming passengers in the car, okay? We like that, okay? That's our picture. But we are, and we can just walk in this space this morning. It's fine. We're in church. It's okay. We can walk in this uncomfortable space called, what do? We need to talk about when life ends. Talk about death. And usually the only time we talk about this, about death, is at funerals. And we need to be honest. How, you know, I won't ask you to raise your hands. I won't ask you to talk in the chat, but when's the last time you actually been to a funeral? It's probably been a while. And over these last 3 years, they've even got fewer. And I'm not talking about you went to visitation, okay? That's important to walk beside families. That's really important. And sometimes we're good and we'll go there, but to sit in a funeral service or at a graveside and listen to a pastor like me talk and open the scriptures, we don't do that very often even more. And so that becomes the only space we even talk about the subject of death. So it's uncomfortable. We only have these few moments that we talk about it, and it's not very often. So I like to, on these weekends, when we have a chance, if you would allow me this morning, could we just walk into that uncomfortable space together? Because Scripture embraces it. Scripture doesn't just ignore it. Oh, let's not talk about this. It actually embraces it fully. And in fact, I want to start off with just some foundational things I want to make sure that you are all aware of before we jump into the text, which will be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, okay? So here's what Paul wrote. So then just as sin entered the world through one man and, oh, there's our word, death through sin. And so death spread to all people because all sinned. This is really important, okay? Where did death come from? It came from sin. It came from the fall. That's what ushered it into God's perfect created world. If you're having a discussion with somebody, I've done this before, okay? All right, you don't believe God created things? Fine, okay. So where'd death come from? Where'd it come from? Okay, well, I guess you don't believe in God, so it's just a part of a natural world or wherever. Where'd it come from? It comes from sin, and it got ushered into God's perfect world. And so he has to do something about what happened to God's perfect created world. God is going to do something actually about that because death got ushered in because of sin. Death came from sin. Life comes from Christ. So that just as sin, reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is that picture of life and death from Christ. And maybe one of the most recent examples, and when I mean recent, I mean the past century, was a person that was hung. He was a pastor in Germany. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if you've ever heard that name, but a few days before the Allied forces would come in, he was killed at a prisoner of war camp. He was a pastor. He was a theologian. His last words were this: "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." Because that's what he understood. He understood scripturally, this is the end here, but this is the beginning of my life because sin brings death, life comes from Christ. That is an important foundation that we need to have. that's important for us to understand. And again, we just don't talk about these things. And so could we walk in that space and just embrace that this morning? Now, because we understand some things, because we're going to walk into a text this morning, I want to make sure you understand something, okay? This doesn't make the death of a loved one any less painful. It rather adds something new, okay? It doesn't mean, oh, well, I'm not going to be sad. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to grieve. That doesn't mean that, okay? It doesn't mean, oh, everything's going to be great. No, it doesn't mean that. It means something gets added to the whole process of grieving, of standing at a graveside, of the idea of loss, of having a loved one you know not be in your presence anymore. Okay, that something, according to Scripture, according because Jesus died and rose again, because of that, something gets new get added. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, that Paul talks about to this church in Thessalonica. Now, this church was so eager for Jesus to come back. Okay, and I've told you this before, but context is everything. Okay, context is everything. In 2 Thessalonians, there's a verse that talks about if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, now I've heard that verse preached on so many different times and so many different occasions to go after people they thought were deadbeats or lazy or something. Okay, do you know why that's in there? 2 Thessalonians is there because they were not working because Jesus was coming back. Why would I work? Why would I spend my time working? I don't need to work. And other people in the church were taking care of other people. And Paul finally said, whoa, 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 time out. Hey, if you're not working, you don't need. No, we're not doing this. We're not supporting everybody, okay? It's not that we stop doing things because we think Jesus is coming back. That means all the more we do things because Jesus is coming back. They had a wrong mindset and Paul had to change it. But man, if you don't know the context of that, you walk in there, oh, gosh, wow. You know, some of you are like, I don't know. That verse might go well in my teenager's room, okay? I'll blow it up about this big, and hey, if you don't work, you don't eat. Right? Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. But that's what happens when you don't understand context. You just throw look what Paul said. Paul said it to a church where people stopped working because they thought Jesus was coming back right now, right? Next week. 3 days from now, let's just stop and let's wait and let's sit there and go, okay, come on, let's get going with this. Okay, instead of embracing what is our purpose, why are we here, what does Jesus want us to do, how do we live our life for him, they had just missed out on that. So that's really important to know because Paul wants to talk to them about it. And part of it was grief. Part of it was a longing to see people who had died, who had been in Christ, who had made a commitment to Jesus, were following him, and then died. So part of it was this sense of loss that they were experiencing, that he wanted them to experience this. So here's what he wrote. Now, we don't want you to be uninformed because that's a terrible place to be. Paul says, don't be there, okay? I want to let you know some truth, and I want you to build it into your life. I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep. And no, I didn't write that wrong. That is how people like Paul talked about death because of what Jesus did. And he's going to refer to that right away. Because of that, he just talks about falling asleep. That is the way death is to people who follow Jesus because of what Jesus has done. And he just connects that even with the language that he is going to use. So that, why don't you want to be informed? Because we don't want you to grieve like the rest of people who have no hope. You're going to grieve, but I don't want you to grieve like people who have no hope, that just believe, well, the end, this life is it. When it's done, it's done. I don't want you to grieve like those people. I don't want you to grieve like those people who may not know where somebody was. I want you to know, and I want you to be able to, when those moments come, to be able to stand by a grave and to grieve, but to grieve with this thing called hope. This thing called hope. Now, why does he do this? Okay, so in order to grieve with hope, Paul knows we need to remember. Some of us, it's just remember, okay, because we forget. Okay, some of the things I'm going to say this morning are not new. They're not life-shattering. They're like, oh, yeah, I already knew that, okay? We just need to be reminded of them in the context that we're talking about. And some of the things we just need to know. We just don't know that. So he doesn't want to be uninformed. He wants them to know. And so there's some things we need to remember in order that we may grieve with hope. Because There's no doubt you might visit a grave this weekend. You are still grieving because of that loss. And how do you grieve then with a sense of hope? Okay, look what he starts off with. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Well, that's a simple one, right? So if we believe, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, he starts with a foundational principle that Jesus died and rose again. You have to start there. Why is that important? Okay, because the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. Everything changed in that moment. He died for our sins. He rose again for our salvation. And everything in that moment changed, including death itself changed. It was totally different from that moment on because of what Jesus did. So always start there. Always go back to that. The resurrection changed everything. So Paul says it in another place. He says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Oh, I don't know if I want to go there. You know, there's a group of people, Jewish people that Jesus dealt with who didn't believe in a resurrection. And you know, he talked to them about that. They didn't believe in that. So he's saying, do you understand if you miss this point that Jesus will resurrect, then you are missing the point that he has been risen. So just connect those two things together. Jesus has been risen. So therefore, what is Jesus going to do with that? Okay. So we also believe, he just continues on, Jesus died and rose again. We also believe that God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep as Christians. So now we're connecting this again. He's connecting this even further. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we believe there will be a resurrection. And that Jesus puts first in the resurrection those who have died in him. They are first. They get to be first. That is how Paul sets it up and says, they are first. They are first. So I need to stop for a moment. Do we know how the scriptures explain death itself? Then what happens? Okay? So can I go back to Paul? This is Paul at one moment when he says, thus we are full of courage and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So now he's talking about, wait, and then you're like, what? But there's going to be resurrection as well. He's going to help us understand something, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about body, soul, spirits. And Paul is talking, hey, if I'm away from the body, I am at home with the Lord. And one day there's going to be a resurrection of that body, just as there was a resurrection of Jesus. He just connects it all together, body, soul, spirits, okay? Now may the God of peace, look what he says, himself make you completely holy, and may your spirit, soul, and body, there it is, all three pieces, okay, be kept entirely blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All three pieces. All three parts. Isn't that interesting? We talk about God in three people. He creates in three. Isn't that interesting? I don't know. It's something to think about. That we would be kept entirely blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is weaved into everything. Do you know? And you can ask, okay? And in fact, if you're in Indianola, you can ask Jeff Peterson this, okay? If you happen to be at Overton's funeral home, and you can ask him, why do we bury people facing east? Why do we do that? Do you realize that's a practice? You go to a cemetery, guess where it's facing? East. Do you know why we do that? Because Jesus is coming back. That's our practice. That has been the practice for years and years and years and years, that we bury people facing the way that Jesus is returning. That's why we bury people that way. And we don't even think about that. That's weaved into everything, this idea of the resurrection. It's just weaved into all these different things that we're used to. You mean how we bury somebody? Yep, it's a certain way. They don't just dig a hole and throw somebody in it, okay? That's not how it works. It's all planned. It's all plotted to point a certain direction because of the coming again of Jesus and the promise of resurrection. The soul goes immediately with Jesus. The body gets resurrected one day. And in fact, he would go on to say, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. If you've ever heard the word rapture, okay, just so you know, it's a made-up word. It's a made-up word you don't find in the Bible, okay? But where it comes from is that verse. those who alive and remain will be caught up. And if you take that word caught up, when it got translated into Latin, it came as the word rapturo, that we just kind of made into a word called rapture. Okay, that's where we get the word. The idea of being caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. And this is really important. And so we will always be with the Lord. Now Paul's just going to talk about importance here. Because he doesn't end with saying, and so we will always be with our loved ones who fell asleep in Christ. No, because that's not the first importance, is it? The first importance is Jesus. We're with the Lord always. It's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. We don't serve Jesus. This is what happens. This happened when Jesus walked the earth. We end up drawn to him because what he can give us. So there's a great story in the Gospel of John where Jesus takes the bread, right, and feeds this huge multitude with a boy's small little lunch, and they're blown away, right? So John tells us that, guess what happened the next day? They're all looking for Jesus. Man, he's free lunch. This is awesome, okay? And Jesus is going to break bread and fish. It's going to be awesome. So we want that again. So that's why they followed him. They followed him and were looking for him because of what they could get from him. Haven't you ever been tempted to do that? We're tempted to follow him for what we think he can give us. And so that's why Paul just says, wait a minute. No. It's not the end. The focus is always Jesus. It's always about Jesus. It's only about Jesus. And then, because Jesus is who he is and just pours out abundance in our life and is so good and is so wonderful and so blessed, that's what he does. But if you get that wrong, oh, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. Because what happens when God doesn't give you what you ask for? Ever happened to you? It's not a nice moment. It's hard. It's difficult. And you struggle with that. And now, then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, he is a sovereign Lord. Okay? He's not a genie. He's not there to fulfill my wishes and to give me what I want. He is there for my best and my greatest that he has for me in my life. And sometimes that's for him to look at me and say, Ed, no. But come on. No. What do you mean no? No's a terrible word. No should never be, right? It's a terrible word. And Jesus is like, no, I got something better for you. There's something better. So if you would just agree with me, Ed, and say, no, here, I have something better for you. But if we get this wrong, oh, we struggle. Because all of a sudden, Jesus doesn't give me what I want him to give me. So that's why he ends at the end. This is all about Jesus. And so we will always be with the Lord. This is how he ends this section. Encourage one another with these words. Now, if you remember, several weeks ago, we're in the Gospel of John. And John talked about the Holy Spirit being our comforter, our paracletos, and a word very familiar, okay, similar to paracletos, is this word for encourage. Some of your translations are going to pick it up and say, comfort one another with these words. But remember what we said about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come alongside of. He would come alongside. So what if that's what we're supposed to do? That's why we're supposed to know this. That's why we're supposed to know this truth. Not only for ourselves, but in a church, in a family, we're going to be with other people who are experiencing death. And what are we supposed to do in those moments? Because it's uncomfortable and I don't want to talk about it and I don't know what to say to them. What if you just come alongside of them? And if you have an opportunity, you speak the truth of the gospel. Hey, Jesus died and rose again. Your brother, your father, your mother, your grandmother, they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus. And there's Jesus promises resurrection because he was resurrected. And you can just hold on to that promise. And I'll walk with you through this. Whatever I can do to help you, I'll walk with you through this. Wow. That would be powerful. Because sometimes, you've been there, I'm a pastor and I don't know what to do at times. I don't, there are no magic words. There are no magic words. And sometimes we say all the wrong things. So sometimes it's better not to say anything. But what would it look like if we came alongside? Because when we don't know the truth, we can't come alongside. And we can't do what we're called to do. So that's why this is even more important today. Because somebody in your circle is going to lose somebody. And you're going to get an opportunity to walk with them through it. You're going to get that opportunity. And I want you to know the truth, because I don't want you to say something wrong, something just false, something that it sounds good. You know, it was a quote out of a poem. Well, that's nice. Where's that get us? Okay. I want you to be able to know the truth so that you can walk alongside of them and help them in all of this. Maybe saw recently a man by the name of Tim Keller. He was a pastor in New York. I've read lots of his books, his articles, and different things. That he recently went home to be with the Lord. Recently passed away. And so I'm like, oh, he's talked about so many different things. Here's what he talks about. All death can now do to Christians is make their lives infinitely better. Oh, when's the last time you thought about that? All that death can now do, because Jesus died and rose again, because Jesus promises at the resurrection to bring with those who have died in him, because we're supposed to stand and encourage one another. All that death can do to Christians is to make their lives infinitely better. Wow. Sit in that for just a moment, if you would, today. Because we should grieve with hope. We also should trust, and I would urge you to trust your eternity to Jesus. He's the only one. Because Scripture is so clear that everyone lives forever somewhere. And there's really only two choices. There is with Christ to eternal life, and there is without Christ an eternal death. There's our two choices. And I would just encourage you to trust Jesus with your eternity. And that is so simple to do. We are saying, I will call upon the Lord. For everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. It's so simple sometimes. We just make it harder. That I call on Jesus. Jesus died in my place, rose again for my salvation. And he is the one, because he conquered death. After death had sin had brought in death, he conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave, and he reminds us, just trust me. I've conquered death, and I will conquer your death as well and make your life infinitely better for eternity with me. So that's what I'd like you to think about, so that you can encourage one another. So that you yourself know the truth, and that you've actually made a decision about your eternity with Jesus, that you would know the truth. Because knowing the truth, Jesus says, always sets us free. And I wonder if it would help us get over this uncomfortable, and I think a lot of it is tied to what we're going to sing about as we close today. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I love that statement, right? No longer slave to fear, and there is so much fear wrapped up in death. The enemy loves to do that. And Jesus is standing there saying, just trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. That's what he's constantly calling us to and asking us to do that, because he takes care of our eternities when we are a child of God. Because he has given us that right, because we have accepted his sacrifice for our sin, and that he rose again for our salvation. So let me pray for us today. Pray for you. You might be in a season of grief because you have recently stood at a grave, or you're dealing with somebody who is going through that moment right now. That God would be close to you, that Jesus would remind you that he has done everything for your eternity, for your salvation, and what the future looks like with him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in these moments that as we have stepped into an uncomfortable space, and Father, we're just going to be honest this morning, it's uncomfortable because fear has crept into that space and has taken over that space. And so we don't like to talk about it, and we're uncomfortable, and there's a lot of fear associated with that. And our culture certainly doesn't know how to deal with it because it's so hopeless, Jesus, without you. And so you invite us to walk into the space of your resurrection and say, I've conquered death. I will conquer your death. Because all death can do for a Christian, for Jesus, your followers, your children, is to make life infinitely better. So would you step with us, Jesus, into seasons that we have of grief? Father, when we see friends, family in our own church, that we would do the uncomfortable thing and walk beside them. Because that's what you've asked us to do. We get to encourage, walk beside with these words of hope. And Jesus, I pray today that if somebody doesn't know, they are uncertain about eternity, that today is a great day to make it certain. Just trust you with their eternity. So, Father, I would just pray that those prayers would be lifted up to you. That you have paved a way for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be walk in right relationship with you, and for our eternity to be set as a child of God. May we walk in that today. And as we sing this, may we push back on the fear that has crept into this space in our life. Declare your resurrection. We are a child of God. That you hold that in your hands. Work and move in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.